here after much technical difficulty. Noah will be right with you.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
So lucky to have you on the Sex, Love, and Relationships. We talk about it here. Carol the Coach.
Compassion with contemporary
relevance. Hi, Carol.
It's
great to be here.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach. I can help you with your issues.
We're having all sorts of technical difficulties, but I think we got it under control now. I have been doing the show for 4 years, and I've got to tell you, only once have I not been able to get on the air. So, Noah, I am so sorry that this was also your fate tonight. And I kept thinking, oh, Noah has been diligently waiting. So really appreciate it because you've got so much good information in terms of sex addiction and internet porn. And you've made it your mission to help men and women recover from addiction to porn. So I thought, oh, I hope I get to talk with you tonight.
Well, thank you for that, Carol. Yeah, I really appreciate these opportunities to share that information.
Oh, I understand that. And you're really pretty famous in the internet. You really are. I mean, I was at a convention in February for ITAP, which, of course, is the International Institute for Trauma and Addiction Professionals. And everybody said, oh, you've got to get Noah Church on the air because he's so well-respected. So tell me a little bit, how'd you get into this business?
Well, I'm 26 years old, which means that I was among the first generation to grow up with internet access. So I had access to pornography from a pretty young age. And it wasn't until I was in my 20s that I realized that that habit had a lot of negative effects on my life. Most pointedly, porn-induced erectile dysfunction, which is how we know it now, which meant that I could still, you know, achieve erection and climax to internet porn, but with real partners and real intimacy, I just wasn't able to experience that. And it wasn't until I quit porn at age 24 that I finally recovered from it. And after I did so, I mean, it had such a powerful impact on my life. And the information that I finally got when I was 24 was so helpful to me that I wanted to be that voice out there that would share this information with more guys who were going through what I had gone through.
Well, and how were you ever smart enough to realize that you needed stop porn to hopefully regain your ability for intimacy and face-to-face sexual activity?
Well, unfortunately, I cannot give the credit to myself. I stumbled upon a TED Talk on YouTube by Gary Wilson. It was called The Great Porn Experiment. And in it, he talked about how consistent porn use over years can actually change the neurology, physically and chemically, of our brains and make guys unable to become physically aroused with real partners. But he said that the brain is plastic and that the pathways and the activities that we do consistently get stronger like a muscle, but the ones that we don't use get weaker. And all we really needed to do was quit pornography and start engaging again in real intimacy and real relationships that is what I wanted all along. So I knew right then and there I was never watching porn again, and that's when it happened. And within a few months, I started to see a lot of progress, and now I'm much happier in pretty much every way than I was when I was using porn. So that was a huge moment in my life and a huge step forward, and I'm ever grateful for that.
Well, you sound very positive and upbeat about it, and let's face it, I'm a certified sexual addictions therapist, and when I tell young men, look, what we're going to have to do is get you support so that you stop using porn, their feeling is like I'm cutting off their hand or I'm taking their very best friend away from them. And yet you really did the investigation on your own. I mean, I can't imagine you going to TED Talk and going, oh, my gosh, this guy really knows what he's talking about. This is a brain issue. It's not an issue of willpower.
Well, I think it's both, actually. But for me, for so long, I had wondered, you know, what's wrong with me? Why can't I have sex when I feel like I have a strong sex drive? I'm very attracted, and I love these women that I'm trying this with. So when I finally discovered what the real cause was, it was like, for the first time in years, I saw light at the end of the tunnel. So there was a lot of hope and empowerment for me in that I finally knew what actions I had to take to reach the goals I always had for myself and my relationships. So yeah, right from the start, when I realized what was wrong, I was looking at it with a positive light.
Well, and how common do you think compulsive porn use is, you know, in today's world?
Well, I think it's a lot more common than a lot of people think. A lot of people might say to me, well, porn has been around for a long time, so it's not really any different now than it was back in the 50s or the 60s. And that's just not the case. With how internet porn is today, there's an unlimited access to unlimited variety of content, streaming like on sites set up like YouTube, and it's very easily accessible from a young age at no cost. So a lot of guys and girls are starting to use it when they're very young and getting sucked into it. And because there's unlimited content and unlimited variety, it's easy just to keep watching because there's always something new to click to. Whereas before, if you were renting a VHS tape or something, it was just one tape with a few actors and a few scenes, and it would get boring. Or before that, just using fantasy, there's only so much you can masturbate before it gets boring. But with porn, there's always something new to click to on the internet.
When you mention that, and I've got to tell you, that is the number one part of the addiction that almost invariably the men and women I work with say. They say, I'm addicted to porn or I'm addicted to sex addiction, but what they're really addicted to is the next thing out there that they haven't seen, the novelty that they believe is driving their compulsivity. And that's what you're saying to us, that it's affordability and anonymity and accessibility makes it way different than magazines and VHS tapes.
Absolutely. Yeah, with internet porn, it's a process of always seeking that perfect clip, that perfect thing to finish to, but never really being satisfied.
Yeah, and so can I ask you some personal questions, like how old were you when you saw your first internet porn experience?
Yeah, absolutely. I was 9 years old when I sought it out, actually. I didn't know what porn itself was, but I knew I was attracted to women, and I just searched for pictures of pretty ladies, and that's how it started. And as soon as I saw those first images, I was hooked. It was a very powerful stimulation for me. And it got worse when I got a computer in my own room when I was a young teenager, and I was downloading videos off of peer-to-peer software. And then it got worse again around 2006 when those YouTube-style streaming pornography sites went live. And actually, we can see from 2002 there's a meta-analysis of erectile dysfunction studies that showed that guys aged 18 to 40 had rates of ED about 2%. Whereas 9 years later, in 2011, those numbers had jumped to 14 to 28%. And in that time, that's what was happening, is porn was becoming much more easily accessible, and those streaming sites went live.
And now, from man to man, and do you think that they get it? Do you think they think, you know what, I'm not able to have sex with my girlfriend or my wife because of all the porn I've been watching?
I think they get it once they hear someone like me tell my own story, because they can see all the similarities from their own lives. But up until they hear someone else talk about it or hear the science behind it, I think that we're motivated to deny that porn is the problem. That was certainly my case. I thought that porn or too much masturbation might be my problem, so I would quit for a couple of weeks and then try to have sex again, and it still wouldn't work. And I thought if a couple of weeks couldn't fix it away from porn, then porn must not be the problem, because I still wanted to use porn, so I used that as an excuse to keep using. And I just didn't realize that it could take months to really recover.
Yeah, and so again, Gary Wilson's TED Talk was instrumental in teaching you some brain science behind your compulsion.
Yeah, and after that, I started to do a lot more research. I just wanted to know everything I could about this, and that's what I recommend that everyone who's struggling with a similar issue do. I think that knowledge is power, and the more we know about how recovery usually goes and what other people in similar situations have gone through, I think the more empowered we are to improve our own situation. And that's why I, you know, wrote my book and I started speaking and telling my own story.
Yeah, okay. So obviously you said you were 24 when you started really examining this and researching this. And then you found the TED Talk, and that really helped to make some sense out of your inability. And I'm assuming it was not just that you had erectile dysfunction, but you were having trouble with orgasm when you were face-to-face with the woman, but not when you were masturbating to pornography.
Yes. Until I finally quit porn, I had never experienced an orgasm with another person.
Okay. And so the book you wrote is called?
It's called Whack, Addicted to Internet Porn.
Okay. Whack, Addicted to Internet Porn. And you
yeah,
wrote
people
that
can find
when
out.
You were how old?
I was 24 when I started to write that. It started just as my own personal journal of my progress. And once I learned a lot more about this and saw how many people out there could use a book like it, I decided to turn it into a book.
And
yeah,
then
people can find it at my website.
Okay. Your website is called?
It's addictedtointernetporn.com.
Addictedtointernetporn.com. Well, that was good and clever and to the point. And
yeah, I wanted to be very bold about what
it.
I was saying, very bold and frank, because I think that people need frank information. I didn't want to dance around the subject.
Well, I appreciate that because clearly, you know, there's many innuendos to that title, Whacked. And so tell me a little bit about how you developed it. You started writing about the information that you were gathering and told your own story, and mm-hmm. then you decided to self-publish?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did a lot of research about what we knew at the time about the brain science behind addiction itself and specifically porn addiction. And in the 2 years since I published, there's actually been a lot more studies published about that subject. So to be honest, it could use an update at this point. But I also talked with, you know, dozens, probably hundreds of people who are recovering and figured out what worked and what didn't work, what the common pitfalls were. So I wrote a complete guide to recovery based on all those experiences that I had gathered. And I shared a lot of other people's experiences and stories in their own words as well, because I thought that was important to incorporate as many different viewpoints as I could.
Well, absolutely, and obviously if you read any of the Big Book or the Green Book or the White Book, I mean, mm-hmm. half of it is about the process of how to get clean, and the other half is about individual stories so that people won't feel so alone.
Yeah.
And you're so right about the research. I don't know if you're aware that I have compiled for AFAR, and that is the American Foundation for Addiction Research, a book called Sexual Addiction, Wisdom from the Masters. I have Patrick Carnes in here and Alex Katahakis and Ken Adams. And I wish I would have known about you because I would have loved to have added a chapter because we need more young people just, you know, talking straight about what they've been through.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. It's a pretty small group as of now of people who have experienced this and come out and put their faces out there and decided to speak publicly. But I'm proud to be one of them.
So did you get any flack for doing that?
To be honest, the vast majority of responses have been very positive. Most people I hear from reach out and say that they really appreciate hearing my story and that I was able to make myself vulnerable and do that because it made them realize their own problems and their own solutions. People might be thinking bad things about me, but they usually don't tell me.
Oh, I'm sure they don't. Now, let me ask you, what was your parents' reaction to both your research and your writing?
Well, it wasn't just that I went public at the very beginning. I told my girlfriend at the time first, then I told my friends, And then I told my family, and that was probably the hardest part. I think once I shared my story fully with them, they certainly understood. But I think they did feel guilty about not protecting me from that. But I don't blame them for that at all, because it was, at that time, a completely unknown danger. The internet had just become common in households, and nobody really knew how harmful or pervasive internet porn could be. And that's another reason I want to share this, is so that parents can realize that it is an issue they need to discuss with their children, and it's something they need to be aware of.
Yeah, so here you are. You're how old now, 26?
Yeah, 27 next month.
And so what do you tell parents, or what would you tell parents in terms of how to discuss this with their young sons,
mm-hmm.
and maybe even daughters?
Well, I think it's a process. I don't believe in just having one sex talk or one porn talk. I think the healthiest way to deal with it is to have an open avenue of communication. A lot of the people I talk with who are my own age or older, they never really talked about sexual matters with their parents, because if they were caught watching porn or something, their parents' reaction would have been anger and shock. And any subject that causes your parents to feel anger or shock, you're not going to want to talk to them about it, because you don't want to get in trouble. So I encourage parents to get comfortable talking about sex and porn first with each other and with their friends, and try to create that open, safe dialogue with their children, where children can feel safe talking about this stuff and asking questions. And it doesn't have to be such a big deal.
Well, that's really good, solid advice, because what you're really saying is take the shame and the discomfort out of it and just talk real with
your
child. Now, you said you felt like your parents felt somewhat guilty. So they never caught you looking at porn at 9, 10, 11, or 12?
No. I was pretty clever about hiding it. I think at that age, I probably knew more about internet and computers than my parents did, which was common at that time.
Well, and I got to tell you, I work with a lot of teenagers. As a matter of fact, I just wrapped up one of my adolescent groups. We did a series of 8 sessions, and it's interesting because I had them watch Your Brain on Porn so that they would have some
mm-hmm.
brain science behind it. And I actually talked to them about the 3-second rule, and they can't do any kind of 12-step work because they're too young, and there would be predators in that group, and it could be unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're really limited as to what techniques they can use for their own compulsivity. One of the things that I talk to the parents about are filters and software that at least gets them to slow down a bit. And although the parents are well-meaning, oftentimes they don't put the software on, or for whatever reason they have to remove it and they don't put it back on. And I know you're probably sitting there thinking, well, there was no software that could have kept you away from it, and I'm sure you're right. But it does kind of take a village of everybody helping to make it, just to give it some definition, to slow it down a little bit, to give a kid some pause as to, do I really want to click on this? Do I really want this report to go to mom or dad, whatever?
Yeah, well, there's new software now that is helping with that, I think. And I'm not a paid sponsor by them or anything, but Covenant Eyes, I know that they provide accountability software where a parent can install that on all the family's computers, and they get reports of the type of content searched for on those computers. And parents are encouraged to tell their children, yeah, we monitor what is searched for on the internet, so be aware it's not completely private. But in that way, you're trusting the kids to go out on their own on the internet and learn how they will on that space, but also being safe about it and being holding them accountable for what they're doing in that space.
Well, and I agree. Covenant Eyes, we've had them on the show too, and they've done a fabulous job of, they're keeping it fresh, that, you know, they've changed their name. I mean, they really work hard at helping people. Anybody who gets stuck or wonders about certain software, you can call them. They answer the phone personally. They're a great resource for anybody who suffers with sexual addiction, no doubt. So then you would tell parents, you know, have some talks with your kids about sex. And what would you have liked to have heard from your own parents?
Well, it doesn't just have to be parents telling the children everything as well. There's a lot of video resources like that TED Talk. I could have stood to see that TED Talk much earlier in life, as well as other videos that are out there. But mostly, I just would have wanted to hear that pornography is out there, this is what it is, and this is how it's different from real intimate experiences that people usually have, because I think, as we all know, pornography does not portray the type of sex that most people enjoy in healthy relationships. And here's what it can cause in people who use it consistently. It can create sexual dysfunctions. It can change people's brains so that they are more stimulated by that pornography than by anything else in their lives. They get desensitized to other stimuli like homework and, you know, playing with others and any other activities, like what happens in all addictions. And if I had known at that young age that watching too much porn could make me incapable of having real sex, I'm not sure I would have stayed away from it completely, but I certainly would have watched a lot less.
Well, and obviously, you said you had never had a sexual experience face-to-face with a female, correct?
Well, I did. It just, with many females, it just wasn't ever a successful one.
So how did you handle that? Because let's face it, there are a lot of grown men that they have a couple of those experiences and they steer away from further experiences because they find it humiliating or embarrassing.
I can't say I handled it well. I was never really able to talk openly about it with any of my partners because I did feel a lot of shame about not being a fully sexually capable man, and I didn't understand it myself. So usually I would make some lame excuse like, I guess I'm not ready to have sex with you tonight, or I'm tired, or I've been drinking too much, or anything like that. And I did reach a point probably a year or more before I finally quit porn where I was tired of those experiences. So I did stop seeking out sexual experiences and I stopped dating. And that really wasn't the place I wanted to be. So it was a great relief to finally find out the cause of the problem.
Well, I can imagine so. And so how many girlfriends would you say you have had?
Pre-recovery, I would say
yep.
that I tried to have sex and failed with around 10 women, probably.
And then while you were, you know, researching and gathering information and abstaining from pornography, did you also abstain from face-to-face, you know, intimacy with women that did not have to do with sex but just dating?
No, I did not. I actually started dating a woman very early on, and it became one of the most beautiful relationships of my life. And we didn't try to have sex right away. It was a slow build in the relationship because I knew that it would be a while before I was recovered enough to attempt that. And she was fine with that. She was very supportive and understanding. And opening up to her and telling her everything was a huge step for me. It took a lot of weight off of me not having to keep that a secret and having someone there who understood and could support me through that process. So, yeah, we were intimate in the sense of, you know, pre-sex intimacy and kissing and stuff like that. And within a few months, I was able to, for the first time in my life, have successful sex.
You know, it's interesting because that's certainly, you were intimate in terms of your communication and sharing your feelings and your issues and your problems, and that oftentimes is really good foreplay for having a sexual relationship. So,
yeah.
You know, she sounds like she was very compassionate and wanted to make things better for you.
Yeah, I think the relationship was about each person giving to the other as much as they could. I think that's what healthy relationships should look like.
Absolutely. And what a great opportunity to make yourself vulnerable.
Yeah, that was huge for me because for a long time I had built up a lot of walls around that part of myself that I never let anyone look inside. So breaking those down was a huge step forward for me.
Yeah. Now, how did you know how to do that? Because, I mean, clearly that's not necessarily what men do in their mid-20s.
How did I know? I think part of it was reading other people's experiences and seeing that often the most successful people were the ones who were able to make themselves vulnerable. There was a talk by Brené Brown, who calls herself a shame researcher, and she gave talks about vulnerability and the power of opening up and trusting others with your true self, and that was inspirational for me. But I think most of all, it just felt right. I felt that this woman was very special and that she deserved the full truth about what was going on in my life. And once I had known what the problem was and I knew that I was doing everything I could to fix it, it felt easier to share that with somebody else because I knew that I was on the road to recovery. I was doing everything I could, whereas before I was just lost and confused.
And then are you still seeing her today?
No, we broke up.
That would have been a huge loss, I'm sure, for both of you on a lot of different levels. Sorry about that, even if you initiated it. That's always hard.
Well, I believe that relationships can help us grow and be extremely valuable and special for both people, even if they don't last forever. So I'll always cherish having had her in my life and the time that we spent together.
Absolutely. Now, do you believe that someone can develop a porn-induced sexual dysfunction, you know, erectile dysfunction or anorgasmia or any of those types of dysfunctions and not be an addict?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, perhaps the majority of people who develop these dysfunctions wouldn't qualify as addicted, because to be addicted, it has to be something that you realize that it's having a lot of negative impacts on your life, and you realize that you should quit for yourself and you commit to do so, but you're unable to do so or it is extremely difficult for you to do so. So a lot of people who develop PIED and realize that porn is the problem, they can say, okay, I'm done with porn, and never relapse. For other people, it's much more difficult, and they go through relapse after relapse as they struggle to rewire their brain and learn how to become the person that they really want to be.
You know, I was referencing earlier that for a lot of people with sexual addiction, it's that novelty of what's out there, what haven't I seen, what's new and different. And so what I hear you saying is that, no, there are plenty of people that pornography has prevented them from face-to-face true intimacy, mm-hmm. but they have not developed such a compulsivity that they have to know what's out there.
Yeah, I mean, there's all different levels of addiction and porn-induced sexual dysfunctions, and we see common behavioral changes and brain changes in these different people, but that doesn't mean that everyone's experience is going to be the same. And I wanted to develop some sort of rubric so that people could see, am I addicted? How severe is my addiction? So I adapted a drug addiction test from the American Psychological Association. It's 11 criteria, statements that if you agree with, you would put a check mark down. Things like, I have foregone or sacrificed obligations at work in order to use pornography, or I have committed to abstain from pornography and then failed in that commitment. And for each statement like that, you would make a tally mark, and then at the end you would see, well, how severe is my addiction really, or am I even addicted?
That sounds interesting, and it sounds a little bit like the SAS, which is our sexual assessment, addiction assessment. It at least tells you, do you have a problem, and if so, how can you get some help with it, you know, which is typically to go to somebody who's certified that can get you to the right resources. So you never did anything like a 12-step group?
No, personally, I did not. I was able to recover on my own in a way, but really with the support of my family and friends and my girlfriend and other people out there who are going through the same experience. And the guys I work with now, because I do offer my services as a coach for people who want some personal guidance, but the guys I work with now, some of them have used 12-step programs and have a lot of success with those. And some guys have used them and realized that it didn't quite line up with how recovery would best go for them. So I think 12 steps can be great for some and just not the right fit for others.
So, Noah, what is the oldest person that you've worked with, to your knowledge?
70.
Wow, very cool. And the youngest?
I generally don't see people under 18, but 18.
Right. Will you work with the parents to help their children?
Absolutely. If parents wanted to work with me in that capacity, I would be open to that.
And what would you title yourself? A porn recovery coach?
Yeah, that's one title I could take. Author, speaker, coach. Certainly not a therapist. I'm not medically licensed or anything like that. I just am a person who has collected a lot of this data and this experience, and I know what tends to work in people's recovery and what tends to trip them up and cause them to relapse. So I'm a person who can offer guidance is all I really say that I am.
Well, that's interesting because clearly you are a recovery coach, and, you know, to be a coach, I'm a life coach as well as a mental health therapist as well as a CSAT, and, you know, you don't have to have any specific requirement to develop a niche and be a coach. And so your niche is obviously porn, and you're a coach because you have a passion to want to help people with that. And so, again, I would encourage anybody who's having any kind of erectile dysfunction or they're wondering if they might be addicted to porn to go to Noah Church's website. And if I'm understanding correctly, it is addictedtointernetporn.com.
That's right, Carol.
And they should get your book, and the full title is Whack. And then
Addicted to Internet Porn, yeah. It's actually available for free for people who subscribe to my newsletter as a PDF. I try to give away, you know, all my knowledge and content for free as I can. It's just, you know, personal one-on-one coaching I charge for.
Right, and I don't think I'm really allowed to and wouldn't want to hone you in to your charges, but I would bet you're very, very affordable.
I'm certainly cheaper than the average in the industry. I just want to help as many people as I can.
Yeah, obviously, understandably. And I get that you don't really want to work with anybody under 18, again, for the legal issues, and yet there is such a need for that. What would you recommend to parents that, you know, obviously talking to their child about sex in general and talking about things like, well, let's get covenant eyes on your tablet just so that, you know, there's some sort of accountability. Anything else that you would recommend to parents to as kind of a safeguard to compulsive internet porn?
I think education is really the most important thing. You know, sitting down and watching some educational videos about this with your child, talking about it afterward, creating that open communication dynamic. I mean, to be honest, if a child or someone under 18 really, really wants to access pornography, they're probably going to be able to find it. It's extremely easy to access on the internet. But by sharing all this information with them, you empower them to realize when it becomes a problem in their own life and enable them to be able to ask help because you've created that comfortable dynamic between you two.
Absolutely, and it's not so much about control. It's about educating and enlightening so
mm-hmm.
that anybody has the option to make their own choices.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I think
okay, so what do your clients usually ask for help with?
The largest portion is usually with a porn-induced sexual dysfunction, either ED or delayed ejaculation where it's extremely difficult for them to reach orgasm with a partner, or even premature ejaculation, which can be porn-induced. But I also work with women who have developed their own problems and are unable to have an orgasm with their partners or have reduced libido for real sex, or partners of addicts who are struggling with how to deal with their partner's addiction, which is causing them a lot of pain.
Do you think that this is going to be the field that you're going to stay in?
I think it will always be part of what I do, yeah, absolutely. I don't think I'll... I'm interested in too many things to just do one for the rest of my life. But yeah, I think this is something I'll be working on for a long time.
I didn't know if you thought at some point you might become a brain scientist or an addictionologist or something,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you were able to study all different types of addictions.
Yeah, for now, I think this niche is where I can do the most good. We'll see what it evolves into.
Right. And so you've met Gary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I visited with him in his hometown.
Yeah, he's amazing, too. He's a friend of the show. I mean, really, it's interesting, though, because there are very few resources on the Internet with regularity. This is the only show that is not religiously based that's been on for over 2 years that helps people with sexual addiction or partner trauma, which is the other part of that. And, you know, you had a very compassionate, understanding, loving person in your life that was willing to help. And unfortunately, a lot of the women that I work with that have been married that find out that, you know, their husbands are addicted to porn and that's why they've been having sexual problems, they
mm-hmm.
feel so betrayed that they have to deal with their own trauma first before they can really help their partner. And you, probably because of your age, didn't have that experience.
Yeah. Well, I think part of it was that I was already recovering when I started to date her. So I was able to present it to her as something that I was dealing with and that I would love her support and help with, but it wasn't something she caught me doing, you know, already deep into the relationship, and it never felt like a betrayal for her.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that really does. It can make all the difference in the world, and whether you feel personally betrayed or whether you feel like, wow, this is somebody I care about or love and I want to help. So is there anything else that you might tell our listening audience that you think they would need information to?
Well, fortunately, right now, we have a lot of that information available online. Gary's website, yourbrainonporn.com, is the best place to find the research and the studies that have come out about how porn affects the brain and how people recover. Like I said, I offer everything that I do on my own website, so if you want to learn more, addictedtointernetporn.com.
And you give away free materials. You know, they obviously can listen to the show, they can read what you've written, and they can take those materials and kind of study them.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I think finding an online community where you can read other people's stories and participate with that in an anonymous sense is helpful for a lot of people. The one I used when I was recovering was yourbrainrebalanced.com, and that
uh-huh.
just allowed me to share my story in an anonymous way, for like a safe space, before I started to share it with the people in my life. And that was a very good small stepping stone for me to take at the beginning.
Okay, so for anybody who might wonder about yourbrainrebalanced.com, what's that process like?
Well, it's just an internet forum where anybody recovering from any aspect of porn-induced problems can go and talk with each other. It's separated into different age groups. So younger guys, if they have questions for other younger guys, can go ask. And older guys, same thing. And also there's sections for women who are dealing with issues specific to them and they want to get help from other ladies going through the same things.
And so anonymously, you're in this forum and you're submitting questions and comments and resources
mm-hmm.
and help.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I got to ask you, how do you know that you're really talking to another guy or, you know, you're really talking to somebody who says he's that age?
Well, I guess it's a leap of faith, but it's hard to imagine someone going online and professing to have a porn-induced sexual dysfunction when they indeed do not. I wouldn't recommend meeting a lot of people in real life off the internet, but it can be a very good space just to act anonymously and get information for your own personal recovery.
Yeah, I get that. Well, I also get that because clearly one of the bad things about the internet is you never know who you're dealing with and you never know who you're talking to, but you personally have never felt like somebody was playing around with you.
No. Actually, on another radio show, a guy did call in, and he was definitely playing around with me. But online, no, usually not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, I used to take calls, too, and I don't do that now because there's nobody to screen them. I have had my own real radio shows where I had a screener and blah, blah, blah. But without a screener, you got people that they're uncomfortable with sex, so they joke around about it as opposed to dealing with the real issues.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I so appreciate your guidance, your help, your passion, and your maturity. I mean, you know, these kind of behaviors are difficult to talk about, and it's obvious that they can be as addictive as nicotine or alcohol, or they don't have to be as addictive as nicotine or alcohol. And so in some ways, with your maturity, you're helping people to look at it as a condition that they have control over.
Yeah, addiction absolutely is a disease, a disorder, under which any object of addiction can fall, whether it's a substance like cocaine or nicotine or a behavior like gambling or sex. And they all result in the same common symptoms and brain changes, but it is a lifestyle disease. It's not something like the flu that we just get and can't do anything about. I absolutely believe that people have the power to change. And just like if you have a lifestyle disease like diabetes, with proper diet and exercise, you can help alleviate those symptoms. Like with addiction, with the proper life choices, we can help recover from those symptoms too.
Right. And, you know, you referenced a little bit about women, but most definitely you're seeing that women are experiencing some of the same compulsivity and issues, only a little bit different. You know, maybe it takes them a long time to have an orgasm, or maybe not at all, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Fewer women overall use porn regularly than men, but it's still a very significant large number of women who do. And for some women, it can be worse than for men because of their capacity physically for multiple orgasms. They, after an orgasm for a guy, it's usually he doesn't feel any more sexual drive for a while, whereas for a woman, she can just keep going for hours.
Right. And so, again, that makes it really tough, too. Do you feel that, you know, when I was working with Patrick Carnes and training with him, I said to him, now, there's two issues I want to ask you, Patrick. I said, one is, do you think that it matters that I'm not in recovery, that I don't have this issue personally?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, Carol, I really don't. A doctor who treats cancer does not have to have cancer to know how to treat it. Made sense to me. My gut said, hey, if you can get somebody who's in recovery and they have the knowledge, to me that's the greatest fit. But okay, I get what he's saying. Anybody can help. The second thing I asked him is, do you think men would be uncomfortable talking to a female certified sexual addictions therapist? And he said, no, in lots of respects, I think it might be easier to talk to a woman. So now I'm going to ask you the same question. Do you find that men may have trouble talking to you, or women may have trouble talking to you because of their sex?
Well, the people who reach out to me tend to want to talk to me, and they don't have much trouble opening up. I think part of it is because they have already seen me share my own personal history and personal story. So they feel in some ways like they already know me and that I've already been vulnerable with them, so they feel safer being vulnerable with me.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Noah, you're an excellent person to share and disseminate this information. I so appreciate you hanging in there at the beginning of the show. I will go to your website. I'll download your materials. I can't wait to sing your praises. And just keep up the good work. And keep me posted. If you're writing more books or doing new websites, I want to know about it so I can let my listening audience know.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure we'll stay in touch. And I really appreciate the show that you've put on for so long. I'm sure you've helped thousands of people in their own lives.
Well, I got to tell you two things. I want to brag about something. Like I said, I wrote Sexual Addiction Wisdom from the Masters. I actually compiled some radio interviews, 12 of them to be exact, and every bit of that money goes to research. So I think that's pretty positive. I'm going to ask all my listeners to go to my website or to Amazon. If they want the hard copy, they have to order it specifically from me, and it is in Amazon Kindle form as well as, obviously, the iPad. But the second thing that I wanted to share is that this started out with about 36 listeners, jumped to about 3,000 by the end of 3 months, and right now we have over 500,000 open downloads.
Wow.
A week. So I get calls and emails and, you know, texts from people all over the world, and they don't have resources. And that is one of the beautiful things about the Internet, unless they've decided not to use the Internet at all. And unfortunately, there is a small part of the population that has decided that they just can't deal with it. You know, they can't have a tablet, a computer, a phone. Available to them. It's like having cocaine in their possession. And so, if nothing else, they can get somebody else to download some of these resources from your website and take it from there. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right, Noah Church, you keep up the good work, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you, Carol. I really appreciate all you've done for everybody. I'll talk to
you
soon.
All right, you take care, too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, that was Noah Church. Again, his website is addictedtointernetporn.com. He recommended, it's no rebates from this, but yourbrainrebalance.com. If there's a form of support group that you can go to be able to access some online support, that can be very helpful. And, you know, when young men and women start talking about how this has affected them in such a mature way, it's an indication that we are changing our lives, that there's no longer guilt and shame behind sex, and certainly sex addiction. And as Noah pointed out, this issue with erectile dysfunction and anorgasmia may not have to do with sexual addiction at all. It may have to do with redirecting your behaviors and working on developing intimacy the old-fashioned way, which is through communication, companionship, and understanding. So we will see you next week. I'm really looking forward to it. And as I said earlier, I am sorry that we had a little technical difficulty. I'm sure glad I got him on. He's amazing. And next week I have Maria Wesley Stewart is going to be talking about partner trauma. So as I say at the end of every show, hey, there'll only be one of you at all times. I fearlessly want you to have the courage to be yourself. And I will see you next week for more Sex Help with Carol, the Coach.